So John's Gospel, chapter 14, reading from verse 15 down to verse 27. This is on page 1082 in the Church Bible. It says this, and this is Jesus speaking, of course. "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Amen. So these last few weeks since Pentecost, been reflecting on the Holy Spirit, and today focuses Jesus, the main thing. I put it in commas, you know. Jesus, the main thing. And as we think about this as a title, Jesus, the main thing, you may know the author, Stephen Covey. Do you know the author, Stephen Covey? He wrote a book a number of years ago. I'm sure many of you would know it. 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. Did you ever come across that? Did you not read it, Derek? Oh, is it that, it's the string that's missing from your bow. But one of the things Stephen Covey was great at as a business leader was putting sometimes complex ideas into simple phrases and then making lots of money when he wrote them down in book form and so on and spoke. And this is one saying that's attributed to Stephen Covey, although there are some people, you know, I searched the internet to find out what the source of this quote is, and I couldn't find it, but everybody seems to think that Stephen Covey said it. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. It's a great quote. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And for us as followers of the Lord Jesus, the main thing is Jesus. So that's why I say Jesus is the main thing. And we can be distracted, and I'm so aware of it as a minister. I can be so distracted by so many, many things, so many concerns and ideas and plans and projects and so on, that it's so easy to forget that Jesus is the main thing. And the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. I remember many, many years ago, I was a pastor in London, and I was struggling in all sorts of ways. The church where I was pastoring was an area of London that had been quite well off, but because of, you know, the way the economy was going at the end of the 80s and the beginning of the 1990s in London, There were, I think we had the highest divorce rate in the whole of the country in that particular area, and the highest house repossession rate in the whole of the country in that particular area, small area where I was. And there were so many struggles we were facing. And I remember one of my prayers, you know, I'd read the Psalms and I knew the psalmist complained to God. So I thought that gave me license to complain to God, which I did. And I remember complaining to God. And I remember saying to God, I'd been preaching away just for one Sunday over in Essex in a very nice church that was close to the sea. And it was such a lovely place that I'd been. And I came back at the beginning of the week and I was walking and praying and I was complaining to God, why couldn't I be called to that church? You know, why couldn't I have a church at the seaside where it was nice and lovely? And I was having a good old whinge at God. And it was one of those occasions where I believe God spoke to me almost audibly. God spoke to me. And I could tell you exactly where I was when I heard the words, I brought you here to teach you things about myself. Just those words. I brought you here to teach you things about myself. I remember my instinct was to react and to say, but aren't I here to learn how to be a minister? Aren't I here to learn how to preach and to pastor and to lead? Surely that is my purpose here. And then the voice spoke again. I brought you here to teach you things about myself. And at that, I was silent. Because I knew God was reminding me what the main thing was. It was to know God as Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is nothing else that truly matters. And that is the main thing. Whatever our other concerns are, that is the main thing, to know God and to allow his Spirit to transform us. And so that has been so important for me. Coming, even when I moved to Evesham, I knew those words of God, they were living words for me. They followed me and have been ever present with me about the main thing. Jesus is the main thing. Now we might ask, well, what has that got to do with the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit reminds us constantly that Jesus is the main thing. It's all about Jesus. As we read on Wednesday evening at our AGM, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. And the writer to the Hebrews also says earlier, I think it's in chapter 3, fix your thoughts upon Jesus. It's fix your whole attention upon Jesus and know that he is faithful and true. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to remind us and to encourage us and to stimulate us with this reality. Jesus is the main thing. Well, oh, there's Stephen Covey's name. Okay, now I've got four headings today. The ever-present relationship with the Father. This is all from our passage. Learning to live like Jesus. Speaking with courage about Jesus. A powerful reflection of Jesus. But you're going to experience today a blessing I don't think I've ever blessed you with before. Can you imagine what this blessing is going to be? I'm only going to do half of them. That is the blessing. As I was preparing this, I thought, you see, when I study, the scriptures and reflect on them and so on, and I'm preparing a sermon, sometimes I get so excited about what God is saying to me and what the good food that is there in the scriptures. And I get so excited about it. I realize there is so much to say and to share that it could be a long sermon. And so I decided to have mercy upon you and to bless you And so you'll get the second half next week. So if today's any good, you can come back next week. But if nobody's here next week, you know, I don't know. Well, I'll just do it to myself. So today I'm just going to do the first two. Although we've got four, I'm going to talk about the ever-present relationship with the Father and learning to live like Jesus. And so here we are, the ever-present relationship with the Father. Jesus speaks to his disciples and says, now, the words are slightly different than the ones I read. So instead of advocate that we read in the passage, we have the word counselor here. And it's difficult to know exactly how to translate the particular word there. But Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor. At the beginning of John's Gospel, chapter 14, and even in at the end of John 13, the concern about the concern of the disciples is that Jesus is going to leave them. And Jesus wants to reassure them. And he speaks those famous words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then one of the disciples says, show us the Father. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And there seems to be this awareness that when Jesus is with the disciples, whether they know it or not, the presence of the Father is with them because Jesus is with them. But when Jesus leaves them, the concern is ultimately that the Father and his love and compassion and comfort and reassurance will no longer be with them. So Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. There will be another one just like Jesus who will be with you. And you will know the fatherhood of God. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father, says Jesus. And there seems to be almost a merging of Jesus and the Father. Not exactly, but that sense of if Jesus is with us, we can know God as Father. So the ever-present relationship with the Father, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, he will give you another counselor, the Spirit of Truth. And this Spirit of Truth will remind you that the Father is always with you. For we have this phrase in the passage, he will be, you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He will be with you forever and will be in you. And these two words, phrases, yes, in the first line, give another counselor to be with you forever, and then he lives with you and will be in you. He will be with you. It's always good to have a companion, a guide, a counselor with you. I know that's true, and I'm sure you do. For some of us, it may be a fatherly figure. For some of us, it is an older person, somebody who's been through it and is wise and can guide us well. To have somebody like that with us is so reassuring. But Jesus says even more than that. He will be in you. And that's an extraordinary thing. Not only will the counselor come to you and remind you that God, is, the Father, is with you, but he will be in you. He will be in you. And my mind is taken to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I'm sure all of our minds are taken to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Because there, Moses has, in Deuteronomy, Moses is telling the story of what God has done a second time to the people. They have, at the beginning or middle of Exodus, they've escaped from slavery in Egypt, and they have been given the law. And then they have traveled not just for 40 days, but for 40 years across the wilderness. And as they stand on the verge of the promised land, Moses speaks to them again and speaks the good news about God to them again and tells them again, this is what the law is. This is the way you can follow God. And then Moses says to them, what I'm telling you is not too difficult for you. You may think it is, but it's not. It's not so difficult for you so that you say, we must go and get somebody to help us from across the sea. No. What you need to do and who you need to be is not far from you. It is in your mouth and on your lips. It's within you. Do you remember that text? And then Moses says, I'm placing before you life and death. Choose life. And Jesus says to the disciples, it's not a difficult task what I'm asking, because the Spirit is going to come and not just be with you, but he will be in you. He will be in you. And this is the ever-present relationship with the Father that the Holy Spirit brings to us. Now, that's not the only place that Jesus speaks about the Father. In verse 25, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Again, that reference to the Father sending the Holy Spirit. But Jesus adds, will send in my name. And what is being spoken of here is the Holy Spirit is representing the life and the character of Jesus. That's what it means, in the name of Jesus. He will be sent in my name. The Holy Spirit will come to us, bringing that knowledge and awareness of the Father to be with us and in us. He will represent to us the life and the character of Jesus. And then another verse from our passage. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send. Not just the Father sending, but now Jesus saying, I will send, but from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father. The Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father. And so within these words, it's again relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And bound up in this passage in John 14, 15 and 16, as Jesus speaks about the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's a constant reminder that the Holy Spirit comes to us to remind us that the Father is with us. And in us. See, this ever-present relationship with the Father. Jesus says, I do not leave you as orphans. I do not abandon you. What is an orphan? Somebody who hasn't got a father. Somebody who hasn't got a mother. I'm not going to leave you like that. But the Counselor will come. The Advocate. The Holy Spirit will come and remind you that you're not an orphan. That you have a Father who loves you with an ever-present lasting love. And so the Spirit comes to us and reminds us of this ever-present relationship with the Father. Next, learning to live like Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to us to encourage us to learn to live like Jesus. And this is the verse, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. What a great verse. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, I want to turn this upside down in a way. I'm going to begin at the end of this particular verse to reflect upon it. The Holy Spirit will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, this presupposes that we have, first of all, read and reflected upon the life and the teaching of Jesus. These words from Jesus presupposes that the Holy Spirit has something to remind us of. And if we have not read and reflected on the life and teaching of Jesus, then the Holy Spirit is going to be scrabbling around, trying to find something to remind us of. We have first ourselves to open up our Bibles and to read about Jesus and to reflect and meditate upon Jesus. Isn't that right? You know, it's a bit like the frustration of teachers trying to remind students. I mean, Steve, you must be familiar with this. You know, trying to remind students about what they should have looked at in their homework. And then realizing half the students haven't bothered to do their homework and there is nothing that they can be reminded of. It presupposes that we have, first of all, read and reflected upon the life and teaching of Jesus. And so I've turned the verse upside down, but it seems to me that's of real importance. That we have engaged. We haven't just come to God and said, fill me with your Holy Spirit, remind me of everything about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is going, well, if you read it first, I can remind you of it. And that's the way it works. We put in the work and the Holy Spirit will remind us. Now, why do we need reminding? Because as we live our lives, we live within a culture that is not focused upon the Lord Jesus. And our culture is not focused upon the values of the Lord Jesus or the kingdom of God. So as we live our lives, we need reminding in all the situations we find ourselves in of the life and teaching and example of Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in us. He reminds us. And we think, oh yeah, I've read that. And the Holy Spirit reminds us. But then we have the phrase, we'll teach you all things. We'll teach you all things. Now we might, I guess, hope that the Holy Spirit will be there when we take our exam. And will fill in the paper for us, because the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. I don't think that's what it means. Neither do I think the Holy Spirit will teach us the intricate details of nuclear physics. I don't think so. Or mathematics, or whatever. I don't think that's the intent of what Jesus is saying. The Holy Spirit would literally teach you everything. What I think Jesus is saying, first of all, the Holy Spirit will remind you of my teaching, my life and my teaching and who I am. But what does this teach you all things? I think it's saying the Holy Spirit will teach you how to apply the life and teaching of Jesus into my life. I know this is what Jesus said, but I'm facing this situation. How do I draw those two things together? I know the example of Jesus, but I'm facing this really difficult person. How do I apply what I know of the life of Jesus into this relationship? The Holy Spirit will teach us all things. There will be no situation that we are in. There will be no situation that we face that if we have read and reflected and meditated upon the life and teaching of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit reminds us of those things, there will be no situation where the Holy Spirit will not be able to teach us how to apply the life of Jesus and the teaching of Jesus so that we know how to live in a particular situation. So I think that's what Jesus is going for here. The Holy Spirit will remind you of what I've done and who I am and what I've said. And then when you're scratching your head, how do I apply this? He will teach you all things. And then the last bit is this note about the counselor, the Holy Spirit. In our passage, we read the word had been translated another advocate. Another advocate. And we might describe the counselor, this advocate, as this the constant wise companion, and how much we all need a constant wise companion. Because Jesus is the main thing. Learning to live like Jesus is at the top of our priority list. And we need one who is wise and is with us and in us, who will help us day by day and step by step to focus upon Jesus, the main thing, and to reflect the life of Jesus wherever we are and whoever we're with. And so the first part of my reflection here is that the Holy Spirit comes to us to remind us that there is an ever-present relationship with the Father that we have, that is bound up with Jesus as the Holy Spirit comes to us. But the encouragement he brings is to help us to learn to live like Jesus, reminding us and teaching us to apply Jesus into our lives. So may we, this week, be encouraged to keep Jesus as our focus, to keep Jesus as the main thing. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today on Father's Day that you are our Father. And Father, thank you that as the Holy Spirit comes to us as our advocate, our counselor, our constant wise companion, we are aware, Holy Spirit, that you bring Jesus to us. We are aware of the life of Jesus. And even in that moment, we know afresh that you, Father, truly are our Father. And Father, we thank you. We pray that you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. We pray for your inspiration that we might go to the Bible and we might read of Jesus and reflect upon Jesus, and we might ruminate on the life and teaching of Jesus, that we might be reminded of everything Jesus has said, and we will be able to better apply the life and teaching of Jesus into our lives. Father, may your blessing rest upon us in all of this. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.